Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. So we did not do a live last week.
Yeah, we missed a week.
Not sure remember what exactly what happened, but we're back today. And today we're doing a different kind of format.
Yeah, we were just sitting here trying to come up with a topic, and I had this idea brewing. So I said, let's just talk about that. So let's just do like a live session where we share and get feedback on this idea that I have.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you have an idea about something you want to do here at the farm.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's
ducks are going crazy.
Duck time.
Duck time. Yep.
Yeah, so I in meditation a couple of days ago, this idea kind of just came to me. And, you know, so at the farm, we kind of have this practice where we carry around a notebook and a pen everywhere. And, you know, because you never know when inspiration hits. And sometimes things just come to you. It could be in lunch or in a session or in meditation. And so this idea came to me. And so I wrote it down. And it's kind of been baking
okay
in my mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you want to know what the idea is?
Of course.
Okay, so wait, I have to give you some background though, in order for it to make sense. This is a little bit of background.
Is it like is this building up the suspense? This is your sales pitch here.
This is my sales pitch, yeah. Okay. All right, so the background is I used to engage in the art of Viking Age sword fighting. And so I know it sounds funny, right? You know, I can go into a lot of detail about that topic, but maybe a different day. But
maybe if we get like covered in like just drowning in questions, what is this about Viking sword fighting?
Yeah,
maybe then we go into the topic if we get a lot of requests for that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there will be some questions. And what does that have to do with the farm? You know, we'll get there. Let's build on that. All right. So yeah, I used to do this Viking Age sword fighting, and you know, I learned from, you know, trainers how to be safe and use swords and shields and axes and things, and I learned using a real steel sword. So it wasn't like the foam one or the wooden one. It was a real steel sword. So like very, you know, traditional and very authentic to the age of the Vikings. And I participated in these leagues, and we would go to these challenges, and it's kind of like MMA with swords and stuff. It was a bit hardcore. It was, you know, one of those, you know, very activating kind of activities. You know, I participated in all of that kind of stuff. But what I enjoyed most about that time you know, in the Viking sword fighting was the practices.
Yeah.
It wasn't the battle or the big event, but just the daily, you know, routines, the daily practices of connecting with the use of the sword and being able to handle it very carefully and being able to command it with, you know, with my vitality and to use it in such a way that it became, you know, just an instrument, you know, of my flesh. Mm. And I remember it just being really zen. And, you know, it brought my awareness, you know, right here into the present. Because, you know, I'm swinging around this big metal sword, and, you know, when you're doing that, you have to be very conscious. You have to be very aware. You have to be aware of yourself and your surroundings and the people who are nearby you. And then when you start to engage in any kind of, you know, a duel or a sparring event, you have to be able to control your sword in such a way that when you go out to land a hit, that you do it with just enough energy so that it doesn't hurt that person. Yeah. But it just, it's like a little love tap.
Yeah.
You know, just a little tap on the shoulder, and then you bring it back.
Yeah.
But when you are casting the sword, you bring it all the way out with full intensity. And it's right in that last moment before it touches the shoulder that you pull it back.
Yeah.
So there's all of these valuable lessons that you learn through that process.
Yeah.
So, you know, I stopped doing that for a long time. I haven't done much sword fighting in a very long time. And I do have my swords here with me at the farm. And I have a couple of foam ones. And sometimes I still...
Yeah, I've seen the foam ones.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, during the exercise time, I'll get them out and I'll just kind of get limber with the arm movements again. You know,
with the Viking...
Yeah.
Sword stuff.
The Viking swords. And yeah, you know, it's like riding a bicycle. You remember all those movements and things. And I don't necessarily want to engage in battle or fight people or anything. But
I didn't think so.
No. Yeah, I'm over all that. That's past life stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be cool. And here's the idea. Here's the pitch. I think it'd be cool to activate that energy and develop a spiritual sword fighting practice and, you know, really develop a whole philosophy around it and about all of the unique ways we can develop our spiritual path while learning about using the sword and connecting to those movements and you know, doing a bit of light sparring, you know, close contact. And yeah, they just came to me in a meditation, and I wrote it down, and I came up with some ideas about how to evolve it and make it into something. And yeah, I think it would be cool to try out. You know, if there was someone else at the farm who was interested in doing that, I would like to kind of formulate it into a practice, into a thing, and that could be something that we offer here. You know,
would you be hosting a class? Like on the schedule, would that be spiritual sword fighting as a class?
Yeah, I think it would. I think if there was enough interest, I think it could be a regular event.
You know, you can also use it as that it's mandatory.
everyone has to sword up.
Suit up.
Yeah. So like you might be wondering, like, you know, how does that fit, or what, you know, is it?
No, I know exactly how that fits.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very interesting because I was doing a session with one of my coaches last week.
Mm.
And so I've been thinking a little bit about, so I've been detoxing very deep for many years. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been exercising that much. I mean, I used to exercise a lot. But from a place of anxiety and overcompensating and dieting and not being good enough and all kinds of, that's not very healthy. And I was doing that a lot. And also but that was before I came to Thailand, and then when we moved to the house, then we got our own gym, and we've been exercising, but when I've been going deeper in the detox to really take pressure off my kidneys and stuff and not engage the adrenal so much, I haven't been I've been exercising less and less.
Yeah.
So I've come to a point where the rebuilding is approaching or has approached.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been feeling, and I think that was my coach, he sent me a video of and he is talking about the dynamic between the yin and the yang, and being like being a master of martial arts, but choosing to be peaceful.
Yeah.
That it's a choice, but the body knows how to defend itself. The body knows how to, and that is a very, very strong energy in healing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The yang and the power and the strength and the physical, like feeling strong and feeling vital.
Yeah, I'd love to see that video.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I got that just last week.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that when you started talking about it. And I mean, many of our teachers, I mean, they are very fit and very strong and know how to fight, and they are the most peaceful people ever.
Yeah.
And so that has been brewing, and I have been feeling that for quite some time, that okay, it's time to pick up something some way. So I already started to exercise a little bit.
Okay, good.
But it's about finding that energy somewhere, the yang energy, and the it's like a martial arts spirit.
Yeah, well, hey, I think this maybe is aligning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you ready to get the swords out?
Is this when you run and get the swords?
We're gonna get the swords, and we'll do a live session right now.
No much.
So no, that's good. I'm happy that you know you are seeking that out, the exercise part of things, and it aligns with the philosophy. And you know, just because you know a martial art, it doesn't mean that you use it in a negative way.
No, and I mean, when I started training MMA and I did Thai boxing and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing and all of it, I mean, I never trained it to use it on someone. I mean, of course, the plan was to compete a little bit, but
yeah,
not to the level where, no, I mean, that wasn't the real point, right. But I could definitely feel the transition in my system when I started to learn. So I know that made me feel much, much more comfortable and much more safe. And it's like a frequency in the system that is like activated, and nervous system regulation and all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can use that as a vehicle to help you with your nervous system as well, because you can be aware in those moments and regulate yourself. You know, you're purposely, intentionally putting yourself in an activating situation. So how do you respond? How do you breathe through that? How do you come back down? How can you expand your awareness?
Yeah.
So some of the things that I wrote down that I thought that would that we could build on with the spiritual sword fighting is grounding and breathing.
Yeah.
Okay. Positioning, which is a word that we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot that can be said about that, but you know, that's a very important part of any martial art. Control, learning about defense and offense and how that manifests you know, physically with the sword, but also mentally.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other one is ego. Because, you know, you put a big sword in your hand, where's the ego going to go?
I'm not sure, but it's going to
grow. Typically, it's going to go. It's going to go right with the sword, yeah. Right? So you work with ego on this as well. Mm. And so, and especially when you are sparring, you work with ego. Mm. And so you work with how not to let that get to your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how to be humble about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, this whole spiritual sword fighting thing. And then I just kind of like Googled to see if this was a thing. And it is a thing. Yeah. It is a real thing. It's much more common in the Japanese sword fighting systems, samurai and kendo and these others. But I don't think anyone is doing Viking age spiritual sword fighting. So this might be a new market, a new area to tap into.
Is it because we're Swedes?
Yeah, I'm a Texan. You're Swedish, so I don't know. Comes together somehow.
Yeah, since you're doing the Viking stuff, I guess.
Yeah,
but I've also been looking into ways of. So, I mean, we've been here at the farm for a couple of months now, and we're, you know, setting the structure and the sessions and all of it, and you know, it's a new way of living. And mm-hmm. I mean, everything is constantly adapting, and both me and Simba, we are always improving everything. But I felt that, I mean, most of the first couple of months was just about, you know, grounding and just like, wow, we have four rye or like 1 acre of land, and, you know, what's going on over here? And what's,
just getting it all figured out and settled.
Yeah, and, you know, having customers here, what are they doing? What is working? What is not working?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone kind of needed to ground a lot when they came here. But now when we've been here a couple of months, I realized that I want to add in, not specifically maybe a yang approach. I mean, fire is very yang, but something that is, a little bit more.
Like physical?
Physical, like that has a yang feeling about it.
Well, swords certainly do.
They sure do.
All right.
So you're going to start hosting a class?
I could. Yeah. I mean, I before I trained other people how to sword fight.
And you have done that.
Yeah, a lot, actually. And the school that I was working at in Hong Kong, I trained children with the soft ones, you know, the foam ones.
Yeah.
I used to teach a sword fighting class for middle school kids.
Mm.
Yeah. So I know how to do it safely.
Yeah, no one's going to get hurt.
No.
And no one's going to start fighting.
No, this is all about the spiritual practice.
Yeah, it's about, exactly. So how would that work? Do you have enough equipment to start a class?
I don't at the moment. There's a couple of different options for us. One is,
we order a lot of Viking swords.
Yeah. We need helmets and leather, and you know, you'll see people out at the farm running around with the
Mark, this escalated quickly.
Well, I mean, in a very basic level, you get a piece of plumbing pipe, and you put the pipe insulation on it, and you tape it all up, and that's your sword. And that's how, you know, that's how people are trained.
Yep.
You don't just hand someone a steel sword.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. Yep. So that would be like a minimal viable.
You and Uncle could probably create a bunch of swords.
Yeah, we could easily do that. There's also this company in the Czech Republic called Fake Steel Armory, and they make soft versions of the replica, so it looks like the sword, it looks like metal, and it's got the leather handle and everything. So that'd be kind of like the next level. But, you know, then I think it would be nice to have a couple of I've got one steel sword myself, mine, but to have a couple of them for people who have done it a while.
Yep.
And want to level up. Because there's really something magical about the feeling of steel striking steel. And I can't really explain it. And it sounds like, you know, those little masculine things or whatever. But I don't know. It's a different energy. And yeah. it feels really good.
All right. So maybe we look into this more then.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that this should be named spiritual sword fighting.
Spiritual sword fighting. Yeah. We're live editing the name of the talk today. Spiritual sword fighting.
Do I spell it correctly? Oops.
Yeah, in the Viking style of sword fighting, yeah, that's right. They also use a shield, so that's why I say you learn about offense and defense. So mm-hmm. we can make some wooden shields. Let's, you know.
Yeah.
Get everybody.
Bamboo shields.
Yeah, bamboo shields. So yeah.
It seems to be working. To change, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the follow-up on the spiritual sword fighting?
Well, I guess we need to kind of feel the energy of it. Does it align? Is it something we want to experiment with and try?
No, it definitely aligns, because especially for the people who come here and stay a little bit longer, it's a, and for guys.
Yeah.
And for girls too. You know, just getting that... it's like empowering and defending yourself and, you know, boundaries. And this is.
Well, like, there was a girl that she saw me using the sword and she wanted to try. And she had a pretty powerful punch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it really can be for anyone.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll get back to you guys on this.
Yeah, stay tuned. Next time we'll show up with the all in the gear. Hello!
This is how it escalates a little bit too quick.
Well, you know, I have the that's kind of my pattern, is I like to take things and just go fast and furious with it. So you'll have to keep me in check, Sarah.
Okay, so the rules might be that no walking around in weird Viking stuff.
Oh. It's a hard rule.
When we're doing the tour, people go, like, oh, this is Mark.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
and you know, there's no drinking and stuff.
No, I'm gonna drink my tea from a giant horn from now on.
That's
instead of this, I'm gonna get a giant horn for my tea.
You just want to get dressed up.
I do love to dress up. I really enjoy the costume things.
Yeah.
We were Simba and I were talking about Ghostbusters. I watched it the other day, and they were selling a replica of the proton pack, mm-hmm. like a proper replica with lights and sounds. And I think it was like $1,000.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's a lot, but
but I mean, it's not going to ruin you forever.
No.
It's just a little bit expensive.
Yeah, but also it's like, you know, what do you do with that?
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, I could walk around the farm with it. Right? What's that guy doing? So that's what I'm saying. It's easy. It's easy for me to get to kind of get out of control with those things, you know.
So this is Mark. Today he's a Ghostbuster. Yeah. Tomorrow he's a Viking.
Yeah. I could also do a wizard or you know.
So where does all this come from? Is this about pretending to be someone else?
No, it's all playful.
Yeah.
It's very playful. Yeah, just having fun. And I mean, it probably connects to the childhood trauma that I didn't get to play and have fun.
No.
You know, and so as an adult, I like to dress up and be weird. Yeah.
Maybe without the weird part.
Yeah.
And just fun and playful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because weird for me is not a good.
Well, it's weird in the eye of the beholder, right? So if I'm walking around with a proton pack on the farm, I'm just living my life. I'm just living my best life. But someone else might look at that and think differently.
Mark living his best life.
Yeah.
As a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's spiritual. Well, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah, they're real.
Yeah, so you know, fits in.
Maybe you are the Ghostbuster of the farm.
Maybe I'll order that proton pack.
Maybe all you need is the sword and
clear the energy with the sword.
Clear the energy with just your presence.
Mm. Yeah, I mean it's a little more subtle and less flashy, but. Yeah.
Then the proton pack. The
proton pack. Yeah.
The proton pack is the thing that they with the green thing.
Yeah, it's like it shoots plasma.
It's their gun.
It's like this giant backpack. It's like a nuclear accelerator on your back, and then there's the gun that shoots the.
But it doesn't shoot anything.
Well, it shoots out a proton plasma beam that can capture spirits, and then they use it to.
Yeah, in the movie.
Right.
But. The one for the $4,000.
Oh no! It just makes sounds and lights. It lights up. Right, it's just the prop, you know. So, yeah.
But with your intention, it could actually.
Yeah, I could use it for real.
Mm.
Yeah.
So now this escalated from spiritual sword fighting to spiritual ghost hunting,
ghost busting. Yeah.
I mean, both are aligned with. What we do, so.
Oh, can we do a ghostbusting class?
But then you have to get those proton packs for everyone.
Yeah.
Going from one was a bit expensive to all of them to buying for everyone.
Yeah.
As long as I get to ghost bust.
Right. Yeah, you got to have the whole team. It's a team effort to ghost bust team.
So we patrol the farm for ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or we wait for someone to call. That's how it works.
Okay, so that became very silly. But the spiritual sword fighting is actually a thing.
Yeah, I'm serious about that. I guess it really came to me in meditation, and you know, I've done a lot of sword fighting before, and I have this sword with me and I feel very connected to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just want to be able to activate that in a new way, with a new purpose, with intention.
Yeah. So you said that it would be, you talked about some that you would work with grounding and breathing,
right?
Positioning, control, defense, and offense,
right?
And ego.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot of teachings that can go along with this besides just the physical practice of it.
Yeah, and it's a physical thing.
It's a physical thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a physical thing. So there's all these drills that we would do, and you would, practice the movements and practice it with the sword, without the sword.
Yeah.
Practice the blocking, practice the hitting, practice the footwork and
let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Spiritual sword fighting activated.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Okay. It's on the schedule.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to come to the farm and do spiritual sword fighting, yeah, come and join.
Very interesting. Okay, looking forward to follow up on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.